As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, "Be holy because I am holy." Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. Father, that is true. Your word stands forever. It has endured millennia. So, Father, as we break it open this morning, we ask that you would bless it, that it would become active in our lives, in our hearts, minds, and souls, and spirits today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So, start of a new year. Coming up this week, what will 2020 bring you? It's always a mystery, isn't it? Here's another question for you. What will you bring to 2020? What are you going to bring to your spiritual lives? It's really hard. I wish everybody was in the middle. It would be so much easier. So, I was reading an article, that's some of you anyway. I was reading an article this week, and it talked about, you guys are so awesome. It was Ken, you wouldn't do it. Ken, if you're listening to this message, they all moved. So I read an article this week about what is your word for 2020? And usually every year I have a verse or two or three that I really want to focus on through the year. And this article talked about a word. What is your word for 2020? So we were at Christmas dinner at dear friends of ours this past week, and one of the guests brought little packages and dropped them at each place setting. And I didn't even notice it at first, and he said, "I really was asking the Lord, I wanted to bless everybody at the dinner table today, and I didn't know what to do, and I just sensed the Lord," excuse me, "telling me to do this. So I'd like you all to open up your little packages." So we did. And inside each package was a rock. They were all various sizes and shapes. And each rock had a word on it. And my word is strength. So I looked at that and I thought, I think I like my word. And then somebody asked me at the table, "What does that word mean to you?" And I just reflected right away back to last Sunday, because I came here before the service started for prayer before heading off to the other church. And they were really praying strength over me. And not that I necessarily needed strength because it was going to be an arduous task, but, you know, strength. So I thought that's what that meant to me. And then I brought the rock home, and I have it on my Devo desk, and I thought, maybe this is the Lord telling me this is my word for 2020. So I started to look up scriptures, and There's a lot of words in the Word of the Lord. There's a lot of verses in the Word of the Lord that are focused around this particular word. The Lord is my strength and my song. Love the Lord your God with all of your strength. It is God who arms me with strength. For the joy of the Lord is my strength. The Lord is my strength and shield. God is our refuge and strength. Then I went beyond the word strength to strong. Be strong and courageous. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. I think I have a word for 2020. Yes. I think it does too. I really like it. So as I was looking at the word for this morning, I want to encourage you guys to get a word from the Word, from the Lord for 2020. And look at verses associated with it and allow it to carry you through the new year. But you need to choose your own word, but I'm also going to give you a word. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. I think that pertaining to this scripture that I read this morning, holiness. Holiness is your word from me to all of us, to all of us here at Gateway. This is going to be our word. And the idea of holiness is so important that it is actually mentioned over 600 times in scripture. And the whole book of Leviticus is totally dedicated to, you know, what we would deem to be rules and regulations, but instruction on leading holy lives. The word holy and holiness, it's woven through every part of this book from beginning to end. And some of the most powerful words were those given by Moses to the Israelites in Leviticus. And it was later quoted right here in 1 Peter. 1 Peter is quoting from the book of Leviticus here. Be holy, for I am holy, says the Lord. Holiness. Well, you know, it's a nice word, and it's a good thing to attain to, but what in the world does it mean? What is holiness from a practical perspective, and how in the world can we obey such a command? It seems daunting, doesn't it? Be holy, for I am holy. Seems like such a hard command. So I thought we would delve into that a little bit this morning. Is that okay? So my word for the year is strength. Our word is holiness. So you need to find a word this morning, or rather before the new year. For the new year. Fresh fallen snow, a newborn baby, a white-hot flame. These images, when we think of them, these are kind of images that we would think about when we think of the word holy. They all have one thing in common. They're pure. They're without a mark. Yet they're only temporary conditions, because we know that beautiful white snow, I actually said beautiful white snow. Mm-hmm. I'm improving. Yeah, beautiful white snow. You know, it doesn't always stay beautiful and white, does it? I think they're calling for a really bad storm today, too. Yeah, ice, freezing rain, and anyway. So white, beautiful white snow doesn't always stay beautiful and white, because, you know, the rain comes and it just gets dirty, the sand, and, you know, it doesn't stay white for long. And flames eventually burn out, you know? They're pure for a moment, but they burn out. And beautiful newborn babies, that lasts for a short time, because, you know, eventually they grow up. But there's one whose very essence is a radiant purity that can never, ever fade. He is the Lord. His holiness is incomprehensible for our limited minds to grasp. 1 Samuel 2 and 2 says this, "There is none holy like the Lord. Indeed, there is no one beside you." You know, the word holy is a prefix to God's name more than any other of his attributes in Scripture, because holiness is the very foundation of his character. Holiness is the very foundation of who he is. His goodness isn't like ours, rising and falling on emotion. His is holy goodness, always good, perfectly good. His mercies endure forever because they are holy mercies. His greatness is insurpassable, for it is holy greatness. In heaven, there is one word that echoes around the throne, even now. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. To even see a glimpse of God's holiness would more than likely stun us into silence and would cause us to fall on our faces. We see it several times in the scriptures when people came into the presence of the Lord. His holiness was so powerful that they would just fall to their faces. The Lord is holy, and when we grasp this at all, undone and fully conscious of our own sinful state, we will fall at his feet in worship. You know, when God commands us to be holy as he is holy, he isn't saying that we will ever be the essence of holiness, because that would cause him to cease to be God. We can never equate our holiness with his holiness. But in this command to us, he reveals one of the most profound mysteries of the universe. God calls us out to be his own, a people for which he has shown such great and tender mercies. Why would a holy God call us to be his own? Well, 1 Peter 2 and 9 makes it clear. "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may," excuse me, "you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." There's always a reason, isn't there? It's so that we can be examples of his goodness and his mercy and his love and his tenderness. I love this quote by C.S. Lewis. He says that God wants to make us into a dazzling, radiant, immortal creature, pulsating all through with such energy and joy and wisdom and love as we cannot now imagine, a bright stainless mirror that reflects back to God perfectly, though of course on a smaller scale, his own boundless power and delight and goodness. Wow. This is why he sets us apart. This is what it means to be holy. So what keeps us from living as God's cherished possession? And And why do we time and again resist such a calling that he has placed on our lives? Well, I think one reason is because we don't see us as God sees us. We are the object of his love. We are a gift to the Son from the Father. That is hard to get your head wrapped around. We struggle to accept that. Why? Well, I think that pride is the main culprit. We try to win God's affection through being diligent in our faith walk, through obedience, through hard work. But listen to the words of A.W. Tozer. We do God more honor by believing what he has said about himself and having the courage to come boldly into the throne of grace than by hiding in self-conscious humility among the trees of the garden. That's a pretty bold statement. We do God more honor by believing... Hold on a sec. Sorry. We do God more honor by believing what he has said about himself and having the courage to come boldly to the throne of grace than by hiding in self-conscious humility among the trees of the garden. Folks, you are God's treasure. Through nothing that you have done or can do, God loves us. Not because of what we did or didn't do. He just loves us. Thank you. Faye, you're awesome. Thank you. Now I have to talk around this. Thank you. Wet my whistle. The minute we become his, he drenches our souls in the glory of his love. Just close your eyes and think about that for a minute. The minute you become his, he drenches you in the glory of his love. Receive it. This is what makes you holy. The beauty of holiness is companionship with God. So sometimes we have a difficulty, first of all, because we don't see ourselves as God sees us, and also we don't anticipate his second coming. It's honestly not something we talk about very often. Jesus is coming back. Amen. This could be the year. Yes. I'm not declaring that prophetically, but it could be the year of his return. Amen. Are you ready? It would be a good change, wouldn't it? In the twinkling of an eye. On the night before his death, Jesus assured his disciples that he was going to prepare a place for them and that he would come back to bring them home with him one day. We're his disciples. That promise is for us as well. And the early church held on to this promise like a lifeline. Look how many years have gone by, 2 millennia have gone by, since that promise was first established. And their anticipation of his soon return was imminent, like next week. And all this time has passed, and we still wait for his return. The promise is still to come. He is coming back. Do you live with eager anticipation of his return? When God is the lover of our soul, we long for him. We long for him in all his fullness. To love his appearing is to be so passionate about Jesus that we think about him all the time. And I will be perfectly honest with you, I do not think about him all the time. And then I catch myself, where's your head at? Where is your head at? I need to be dwelling on him, thinking about him, living in a love affair with my Lord, and believing his promise to come again. It should compel us. It should compel me to keep ourselves ready for him at all times. We want to be a pure and spotless bride and do all that we can to prepare for the great wedding supper of the Lamb. I'm looking forward to that supper. Can you just, like sometimes you just, if you allow yourselves to be imaginative and what that will look like. We're talking a lot of people and a lot of food. And what a celebration. Seeing him face to face, being in his presence, that is what makes us holy. Waiting for his return. So we have trouble with holiness because we don't see ourselves as God sees us, and we don't anticipate his second coming, and we take God's jealousy lightly. One author that I read a little while ago uses the term Christian atheists. I had a problem with that until I understood the definition. Believing in God, but living as if he doesn't exist. Let me say that again. Believing in God, but living as if he doesn't exist. We go to church, we read our Bible, we pray, we teach, we fulfilled our vows, and we don't understand why God should care about such things as the movies we watch, the TV programs we watch, the music that we listen to, or the books that we read, or the money that we spend, or the jokes that we tell, or the recreations we pursue. When we take God's jealousy over our unfaithfulness to him lightly, we grieve his Holy Spirit. And when we talk about God's jealousy, it's not the same as our jealousy, because he's holy. He's jealous for you. When you put anything before him, when anything becomes more important to you than your heavenly Father, you have set up yourself an idol. And he is jealous because he wants you. He wants your full attention. If we truly felt the pain that we inflict on God through what we might consider harmless disloyalties, we would run to him in repentance. To be indifferent is to be unholy. I just read from my little devotional book that I've been going through. This is really good. Restored in his presence. Trust is the natural expression of the one in deep repentance. The nature of these two realities is portrayed well in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. It says this, repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. In this one verse, we see the nature of both repentance and faith, from and toward. The picture would be of one making an about-face from something and toward something. Here it is from sin toward God himself. His presence is discovered in repentance. Repentance means to change the way we think. Our perspective changes regarding sin and God. With deep sorrow, we confess, fully own up to our sin without excuse, and turn to God, upon whom we place our entire trust. Similar imagery is given in Acts 3:19. Therefore, repent and return, so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Isn't it worth it? Repent and turn for times of refreshing. The end result, that times of refreshing may come in the presence of the Lord. In these two verses, we see the pattern, the order that God created us to lead us to himself, to his manifest presence. While we were sinners, God chose us to experience him in such a way that we were fully restored to our original design, to live in and carry his presence. It's a beautiful picture. That's his desire and his plan for each one of us, to host him, to live in his presence. So, what do? Devotion from the heart. In the first chapter of his letter, Peter, quoting from the Torah, cautions us to be holy. For the next two chapters, he addresses various relationships: servant and master, husband and wife, citizen and government. He details proper Christian attitudes and responses. And he ends with these words in 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. That's a good verse for 2020, and I should write that one down. Sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Peter knew that holy behavior could only come from a holy heart. To be sanctified or set apart is to have a holy heart, one that watches carefully to see God's agenda. It takes nothing lightly, clinging to every word, running to obey. And sometimes running to obey is a hard thing to do. It may turn your life upside down. It may change the direction that you've been walking on or in. The possibilities are endless as to what can transpire in your life if you are obedient to Him and allow Him to work in your life and for you to be in alignment with His agenda for you. A holy heart wants to please the Holy One, not out of a need for approval, but out of love. Sanctification produces inner purity that handles every word God speaks with tender care. And though it is a process of growth and maturity, we must pursue it with all of our hearts. Peter warned the early church to be holy in all their behavior, emphasizing God's holiness as their standard. And you know what? For centuries, people have struggled with this. It seems to be an impossible task, and it is. Because holiness is a gift of grace that can never be achieved through your own effort. It cannot be achieved through human effort. Holiness is not the way to Christ, but Christ is the way to holiness. Holiness is not the way to Christ, but Christ is the way to holiness. This sanctifying work of the Spirit, as it's mentioned in 1 Peter 1 and 2, is what allows us to live holy lives. What peace there is in knowing the Holy Spirit of the living God began this good work in us and will perfect it until we see Jesus face to face. Philippians 1 and 6 says this, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. I kind of have the tendency to, walk out my faith walk sometimes on my own. Because I have certain strengths and I rely on them. And every once in a while hit up the side of the head, but I don't think God does that. But every now and again, I really get convicted and I have to readjust my processes just because of who I am. You know, like we all have individual personalities and different characters and different qualities and you know, I often have to reverse, you know, and realign myself to become more dependent on Him rather than on things that He might have gifted me with and talents and abilities that He's given me, but I can't rely on them. I always need to rely on Him. It's hard sometimes. So I'm not here like telling you this is the way, you know, like it's for me too. So, he who began a good work in you, he will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Allow him to work it out in you. Let go. Linda, let go. So, holiness. Here's my question to you, your challenge for 2020. Are you spending time in God's presence daily? If you think you can do it, this is where I'm strong. I do spend time in His presence daily. If you think that you can walk out this faith walk without communing with him in some way on a daily basis, I'm sorry to say, it ain't gonna work. It ain't gonna be pretty, Tracy says. And if you need to get back on track, the new year is coming. And if you have to start small, start small. Just start. Faithfulness to God as the lover of our souls can never be fulfilled out of duty. If we try, we will miss the joy, and God will take no pleasure in the endless list of works we do in his name. But he can't be the lover of our souls if we don't know him. And you get to know him through this. Holy living is a work of the heart. So, your word, our word, I haven't told Ken this yet, but it's our word for 2020. Holiness. Set yourself apart. Set yourself apart. Spend time with him. Get a word. Get a word for 2020, you know? Get into the concordance in the back of your Bible. You know, if God gives you a word, look it up. Get some verses, memorize them. Just allow yourself to be in relationship with God. He says to you, be holy. Be holy because I am holy. Close your eyes, would you? Holy living is truly a work of the heart. So, anybody here today really sensing that they need to step it up? That something that you heard this morning kind of, ooh, that applies to me. Yes, put your hand up. If there's anything that, you know, you're not doing this for me, you're doing it between you and God. Yes, 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 yes. Yes. Another one. Many of you. Actually, I can put my hand up too. I don't think there's one of us in this room today that can't put their hand up because, you know what? Nobody's perfect. We're all trying our best to walk this walk in this day and age, in this society that we're living in. It's not easy, but we cannot do it on our own. We need him. So Father, you saw the hands that have been raised, and maybe hearts are raised to you this morning. Father, help us. Help us to be your children who will walk out our faith walk, who will come to the truth and the realization that you love us, that you are the lover of our souls, and your desire more than anything for this coming year is for us to break out of whatever it is that's holding us back and to enter into a walk with you like we've never had before. And Father, when that happens, when we come together as people who are striving, who are working to have holiness elevated in our lives, God, we don't really do the work of the striving. You do it, Lord. You come alongside and you help us by the power of your Holy Spirit. And Father, when we do that, that's when we see you move. I have high expectations for 2020, Lord. I want to see lives transformed. I want to see relationships restored. I want to see healings, whether they're physical, whether they're emotional, whether they're mental. I want to see people freed from the bondage of their addictions this year, Lord. God, I have a long list. And Father, as your people rise up and set their feet on the rock of our salvation, and we do not waver to the best of our ability, God, you come in like a mighty wind by the power of your Spirit. So, Father, help us, Lord, to live lives that are holy and pleasing to you, because that is our spiritual act of worship. Help us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And Father, I pray that for each and every one of us, Lord, that we would have our spiritual eyes opened to see and our spiritual ears attuned to hear what the Spirit is saying to us. God, we have so much at our disposal, Lord. You're more than willing. You have so much for us. We're going to claim it this year, Father. Everything that you have, we're going to claim it all. We're going to grow together. We're going to continue to grow as the mighty army that we are. God, I thank you for each one here at Gateway Church, for all of our church family that aren't here today too, Lord. Father, that you would bless them this year, that you would keep them, that you would make your face to shine upon them and to be gracious to them, Lord. Father, that you would be provider in everybody's lives, Lord, no matter what the need is. Father, that you would just pour out your blessings on this, our church family, Lord. Father, bind us together. God, we wait. We wait for the coming of Jesus. What a glorious, glorious moment to anticipate. But while we're here, we still have lots of work to do, Lord. So, Father, enable us to walk out our faith walks and to allow each of us to use our giftings in whatever way you have for us to do so. Bless your people, Lord, in Jesus' name. And all his people said, Amen. 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 Hallelujah.